Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Actually, our brother spoke a lot on what I want to speak about tonight. I tend to get on theology tracks and teaching tracks. I'm not going to do any of that tonight. I want to share a very simple thought. I'm going to read two verses. It's not my intent, though I love to do that. It's not my intent to exposit these verses. It's just to share a simple thought with all of us from front to back of what we need right now for the days in which we live. Luke 24, as Jesus was ascending, he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." I had another message prepared. I'm not going to preach tonight, but I want you to know something. Please, I'm not sensationalist or mystical, but unholy spirits are being unleashed upon this world from below. We need the power in the Spirit that's from on high. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. "Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" It took the Spirit to get you started. You know that. Do you think you now can make it on your own without the Holy Spirit? Have you grown to that place? Have you been around it long enough? Have you learned enough? Have you been saved long enough that now you can make it on your own? Paul said that would be a foolish conclusion to come to. I didn't know what to call this, and you won't understand until we preach tonight, but I want to call this the Roto-Rooter message. And I know you don't see any connection there, but you will. Amen. Father, thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, there's some in this place tonight you yet want to touch and speak to. Lord, they need a supernatural touch. Lord, those unholy spirits from below are working on their lives and on their minds. I pray that right now, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would push back in their lives against that and speak to their hearts and speak to their minds, and they'll know it's happening because their focus will be on Jesus. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Do you have that picture? This is the Roto-Rooter message. This week, I would love to tell you, and I love it when it happens, that when a message arises in a season of prayer, because I've been studying a passage of Scripture over and over, a message from God arises. But I must admit, for this message, it was when I was backing out of my garage. And though it is there every day, for some reason, my eyes lit upon, I've got a Roto-Rooter very similar to this, and it was against the back wall of the garage, and I saw it, and I got tickled, and I began to laugh. I was thinking of a few months back. Our kids came up to visit, Ashlyn and Gavin and the grandkids, and when they got there, we had a plumbing line, a drain line in our house stop up. And I tried everything, garden hoses, shorter snakes. I couldn't get it unloosed. Well, several years ago, I have bought a Roto-Rooter that looks like this, but I've only used it one time. One time. And so after trying to get this by going under the sink and with a smaller snake and all that, trying to get it loosened and get the blockage out, I had a bright idea that I would get up on the roof. There were so many turns in this drain pipe, I'd get up on the roof and go down through the drain. The thing that gave me the idea is when I tried the garden hose, suddenly the gutters were full of water and running over, and it wasn't raining. The water was coming up the drain pipe. So I said, well, if the water can come up, I can go down it. And so I went and got the Roto-Rooter and it's pretty heavy. That's part of the story. It's really heavy. I got it up on the roof, And Ashton said, Gavin, I think Dad needs help. So I climbed up there, and I had the extension cord already. I said, okay, I'll put it in. You turn it on. He turns it on, and poof, it blew the breakers of the house, the breaker in the house. I've only used it once, but it must have sat there and rusted. Well, I'm not going to take the thing down and work on it. I mean, I got this clog, and I mean, I'm not going to take the time to do that. So I asked Gavin, I said, well, do you think you could turn that thing? Well, he said, I'll try. Now, he's a big strapping fella. So he started turning that thing, and I'm showing in. He's a-turning it. Use your son-in-laws wisely. And and he's a-turning that thing, and it was such a clog, we couldn't get it. So we went down in the basement, and I cut into the pipe, which was an interesting thing. The gray water starts going everywhere. And I stuck the snake into the pipe, and I said, do you think you could turn that again? And he said, I'll try. So he starts turning it. I'm showing in. He's turning. How many has used one of those snakes? Those things are heavy. And I got to look at him, and he's really strong, but I look at him. He's breathing hard, and he's sweating. And all of a sudden, he stopped. And that's when I got tickled. He's got gray water splashing all over him, and I've been using him as the motor for that Roto-Rooter. But as I backed out this week, I'd hardly finished laughing when something very seriously hit me. Many people are trying to live their Christian life like Gavin was working that Roto-Rooter. They're trying to do it on their own without the power. How many believes that? Now let me tell you three things, and I hope I don't have to pay him for the illustration, but three things I quickly observed about him trying to do it without the power. Number one, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. You know what's wrong when a person starts saying, I'm tired of church. I'm tired of preaching. I'm tired of singing in choir. I'm tired of this. You know what's happened? They've become exhausted because they've been trying to do it on their own power. They've quit allowing the power of the Spirit to do it through them. Have you been there just plain exhausted, maybe teaching Sunday school class, whatever? I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way. There is a power of the Spirit that is an enabler to us. Not only was it exhausting, it was no fun. He didn't look like he was having a bit of fun. You know why the fun goes out of this? You say, are we having fun at church? Well, you can call it what you want to. You can call it passion. You can call it joy. You can call it enthusiasm. You know why people can sing the songs of Zion and there's no joy there anymore? There's no joy ministering. There's no joy coming to church. It's because there's no joy to witness, tell folks. It's because they're trying to do it under their own power. It's exhausting. It's not fun. There's no joy. And you know what? It never worked like it was supposed to work because it didn't have the power to it. How many knows this thing is not going to work the way it's supposed to work under our own steam? This takes the power of the Holy Spirit. And I begin to think of these things, and I thought how desperate we are for the enablement and empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This thing was never meant for us to do it on our own. This thing was meant for us to do it under the enablement and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's not that serving God has gotten rough. It has. I admit, whether you're a young person or older person in our world, it's not just that serving God has gotten rough. It's that we tried to do it under our own power. That's not God's will. That's not God's way. And the scriptures I read to you, the Spirit, Spirit was the power that Jesus said that Christians would need to live their lives as Christians, to shine as the lights they should be, to hold forth the word of truth, to be the salt, amen, to make it through this life, to be victorious, to make it to heaven. Now, I know how it is about the power of the Spirit. We think of somebody doing something in the church, preaching or singing or teaching. Now, we think to ourselves, now, they need the Holy Spirit to do that. They need the Holy Spirit because they're a singing or they're preaching. But the truth is, we all need the Holy Spirit, and we need Him in all of our lives. We need Him for our attitudes. We need Him for our motives. We need Him to empower us. Amen. Listen, we must not think of the moving of the Holy Spirit as just something we experience on the weekends at church. The Holy Spirit is for a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm talking to folks that know what it is to feel something more than your own emotions, more than your own power, and realize it's the eternal Spirit of God at work in you and through you, on your thoughts, your emotions, your will, amen, your very soul. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I ask the question, is the difference about you at school, or the difference about you at work, or the difference about you in your neighborhood, is that difference the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives? I want to digress just a moment to deal with something that we're dealing with in our times. Amen. I'm not going to catalog it, but Christians have suffered. Christians in the USA have suffered many, many backsets and many, many hard knocks in just recent months. It's going to affect our society more than we can ever believe. We as Christians, amen, we've seen the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. We've seen the attack and the venom that's spoken against conservative Christians who have biblical values. And you know what it's done? Amen. You may not have thought of this, but if you'll think, I think you'll agree with me. All of this have made us to feel powerless, like we've lost our power because of all this advancement of evil and things that go so against the grain of Christianity. We feel powerless. Amen. We have this sense that we've lost political power and clout. We have a sense that we have become the minority and the scapegoat. We have this sense that now that churches and Christians in America are powerless. And I was thinking about that, and it occurred to me, is that what our power was all about? Was our power just about political influence? Was our power just about who that we could vote in somebody and influence the election? Was that what the power of the Christian is all about? I say no. If that was our power, amen, what did we have? Amen. The power we had was the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit is a power to live righteous in an unrighteous world. The power of the Holy Spirit is a power to hold forth the word of hope and life and truth to a lost world and generation, to shine as lights. I'm telling you, amen, if that's the power, amen, it's not the real thing that we should have. We ought to have the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you tonight, we have not lost that. Amen. He's been in our midst today, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the way, the spiritual power in the church has always been the greatest when it had the least power in politics and in the government. All of us, you know, we're accustomed to that in America. We want to be the ones that influence the election. We want to see our beliefs acted out in laws and all that. And I'm not saying it's wrong to think that way. I'm just saying, amen, most people have never had that privilege to even expect their nation to be Christian. And so as you look back at history, you want to know when the spiritual power in the church was at its greatest? It's when the church had the least political power and the least influence on their government. Amen. I'm talking about political influence. Amen. How can you say that? What about those New Testament Christians? They turned the world upside down. Amen. They took this gospel across the known world. They established churches everywhere. They cast out devils. They healed the sick. And at the same time, Rome was in power. Rome was killing them. Rome was destroying their homes. They had no power in Nero's court. Amen. The power was always in the hands of the evil. But when the church had the least political and national power, they had the most spiritual power. I mean, I don't like to see the things that's happening, but it's not time for us to get discouraged and hang our heads and say we've lost our power. As long as the Holy Spirit, whom He has sent, is amongst us, we have not lost our power. Amen. It may be a powerful thing to influence an election, but it's greater power to see a soul that is in bondage of drugs and alcohol coming to a service, and through the worship and through the preaching of the word, amen, have a change in their life, coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's a greater power. Amen. Aren't you glad there's a power of the Holy Spirit? We don't have to be conformed to the world around us. So there is a power that we can be lights in the darkness. Paul in Galatians, I don't know if you could get back there quickly enough, but he said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Paul said, what we should all recognize, we needed the Holy Spirit to ever get started in this way. It was the Holy Spirit that begun the work. It wasn't good singing. It wasn't good oratory. Amen. It was the Holy Spirit that begun us in this way. And Paul said that power that it took to get us started is the power it'll take to keep us going and the power it'll take to get us there. Amen. I don't know if you reflected on it a while, but think of all the ways the Holy Spirit was involved in your coming to Christ. Listen to me. If you have truly come to Christ, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look how He was involved. It was the Holy Spirit that drew you. It might have been a different kind of drawing, but some folks felt a drawing to come to church. I mean, that had been the farthest thing from their mind. But suddenly begin to feel an urge, a draw to church. Others begin to feel a draw to read the Bible, or a drawing in their heart to talk to somebody about the Lord. You know what that was? That wasn't happen chance. Amen. That wasn't just it's something natural. That was the Holy Spirit drawing. Now I want to ask you something, because many of you have unsaved love. Don't you think the Holy Spirit still has the power to draw folks? We've got unsaved spouses here, and maybe we can't even talk to them. But I'm telling you, we can pray, and as we pray, the Holy Spirit, amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? Before you got saved, the Holy Spirit was drawing you. Not only did the Holy Spirit draw you, the Holy Spirit convicted you. I know the preaching today, the new gospels, to try to make everybody feel good about themselves. People never got saved that way. People got saved when the Holy Spirit convicted them. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He shall convince you of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Sin, convince, convict. Amen. The Holy Spirit said, the trouble with you is you're a sinner. You're away from God. You don't know God. You don't have God. That was the Holy Spirit that made you convicted of your sins and see your need of a Savior. So the Holy Spirit drew you before you were converted. The Holy Spirit convicted you. But have you ever stopped and thought about something? Amen. That you felt in your heart, that impulse, that need you felt to confess your sins, that need you felt to say, I repent. I want to change my ways. I want to be different. Did you know even that came from the Holy Spirit? It was the Holy Spirit that gave you repentance. I mean, the Holy Spirit's at work, not only to draw and convict and give you repentance. Do you remember when you felt that spiritual life come in? When you realized that you were a new person? When you realized that everything became new? That was the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of regeneration, which means to give life. He's the one that gave you spiritual life, whereby you and I were born again. So He drew us, He convicted us, He gave us repentance, He gave us new life. But I'm telling you, it didn't stop then. I said it didn't stop then, because even though we were believers, we encountered difficulties. What did the Spirit do? He came along and gave us victory when we were faced with difficulty. There was temptation. Amen. We felt ourselves beginning to give in. We just listened to Satan. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to work. And you realize, I have power to say no to that temptation. I don't have to fall back in that sin. That was the Holy Spirit. We needed Him. He was at work. Do you remember those problems you realized that you had? Amen. Thank God He didn't reveal them all when we got saved. But as you begin to walk with God, all of a sudden you became aware of things in your life that needed to be changed. You begin to pray. All of a sudden you felt a power in your life. He said, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to go there anymore. I don't have to say that sanctifying power. What was that? That was the power of the Holy Spirit. What about, amen, you hadn't read this book much. You got into it. There's a lot of things that seem difficult. Amen. And as an unbeliever, you couldn't make heads or tails out of it. You didn't know what it was really saying. But all of a sudden, when you open the book and begin to read, amen, something quickened in your heart. You begin to see. It was like the light came on. What was that? That was the Holy Spirit. Oh, we could go on and on. You were discouraged, but suddenly something filled your heart with joy unspeakable. It was the Spirit. And listen, what Paul says, it took the Holy Spirit to get us started. Now we're on this way. Amen. Maybe we've been on the way for quite a while, but if it took the Holy Spirit to get us started, we need Him today. We'll need Him tomorrow. We'll need Him till we get there. In fact, that's the only way we're going to get there. It's through the power of the Spirit in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to operate more than under your own power? Do you want Roto-Rooter working it? Amen. Amen. Experience. Or do you want the experience of the power of God's Spirit? Now, I want to say this because I believe it's true and I believe we need to know it all across the building. Please hear me. It's going to be increasingly difficult to be believers in these United States. We are going to face things like you never thought possible. I don't know just exactly how the crises will come about. I can't spell just exactly. I can surmise the difficulties and the conflict and the pressure we're going to come under. Maybe I should call that true Christians are going to find it increasingly difficult. And as we find it increasingly difficult to serve the Lord in this morphing culture, this ever-changing culture, degrading, deteriorating culture, we're going to need the Holy Spirit more and more at work in our lives. Going to need Him at work. Going to need Him at school. Amen. I admire our young people go to school. Many of them go to secular college and live for God. Increasingly, you're going to face students and teachers and that are so anti-Christ and anti-God, the things they'll say, the things they'll teach, the attacks at work. The attacks will be more and more against any who will try to live righteous and godly. I'm telling you, as things get increasingly bad, that should do but one thing, and that's increase our awareness that we need the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Can you say amen? I'm going to close tonight with a passage from Matthew chapter 10. And I would, as I begin to read this, I want you to ask a simple question. How close are we to this time? Would you do that? Ask yourself the question as I read these verses. How close are we to this time? Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Are we there? Wolves? Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Listen. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you at the same hour what you shall speak. Here it is. For it is not ye that speak. It's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Jesus said, things are going to get rough. They'll take you to court. They'll whip you. They'll come against you. But he said, in that day, you can count on something. You won't have to worry what to say back. You won't have to worry about words to give in your defense. Because the Spirit of my Father, the Holy Spirit, will rise up within you, give you the answer, give you the words, give you the power to withstand. And I'm telling you, it happened. I mean, they took Peter and John and they beat them, and yet the words came to Peter. He knew exactly what to preach. Hallelujah. He knew exactly how to answer them. Amen. It's a rough time. It's an evil time. But the Holy Spirit can guide us. He can lead us. He can empower us. He can strengthen us and even give us the words to say. What are you going to say at school when that paganistic person, whether student or teacher, comes against you and attacks you? Amen. You may be a shy person, but it doesn't matter. If the Spirit of God's in your life, the Holy Spirit will rise up and give you the words to say. You're out somewhere and somebody attacks you for your faith. Amen. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? The Holy Spirit dwelling in you, He will rise up. Oh, aren't you glad we don't have to face what we're going to face on our own? I said, we don't have to face it on our own. There is an empowerment. That's why Jesus said, tarry till you be endued with power from on high. I don't care how strong you are, how smart you are, how talented, how self-disciplined, how resourceful that you are. You and I will need the power of the Holy Spirit if we are believers indeed, Christians indeed. Amen. There's no room to be full of self and full of this and full of that. Oh, the only thing we need is to be full of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. I have a little scene I made up. Most of them don't make sense, but I try to get a point across. You know, some people try to find the hardest way in the world to get a job done. Have you ever noticed that? They just love doing it the hard way. Amen. I've got a saying, why in the world would you want to use an axe when you got a chainsaw? Why would you want to try to do things in your own strength? Fight the devil on your own. Even why would you even want to try? Even go out into this world on, why would you want to do it on your own when you can be full of the power of the Spirit? Isn't it a wonderful thing when He begins to move in you and through you? Isn't it a wonderful thing when He quickens your tongue? Isn't it a wonderful thing when He quickens your thoughts? Oh, glory to God. He even gets involved in our worship. Glory to God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brother, would you come music, brother? Brother Heath was testifying, I believe, Wednesday night of how he went to speak to an elderly minister that used to pastor in this area and now has the disease of the mind and doesn't know a whole lot of things. But Brother Heath says he began to share with him that the Spirit of the Lord began to rise up within that elderly minister and begin to speak through him. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord was still alive. Oh, I've seen that many times. Folks have begun to deteriorate. Things aren't working as they should, but that hasn't changed the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I'll tell you one thing, if you've ever experienced the power of the Holy Spirit using you, motivating you, there's nothing else that'll take its place. I said, there's nothing else that'll take its place. It might be witnessing to somebody. Amen. Suddenly you realize there's a power at work through you to talk to that lost individual. I'm telling you, the power of the Spirit is real. We need Him, and we have begun in the Spirit, but we will continue in the Spirit, and we're going to make it by the Spirit of our God. Could you stand and worship Him tonight? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent the Spirit to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I have felt so strongly through this week. And I know, you know, people get desensitized. It's kind of like the weather, you know. They can make a snowflake seem like a blizzard. And after several times, I mean, the first season, everybody responds, you know. Pretty soon they say, oh, we're going to have 12 inches of snow. And you get a little coating. And next time, well, we're going to have 8 inches of snow. And you might get an inch and pretty soon you're desensitized. And sometimes we think that all this about talking about how bad things are going to get, it's just like those kind of predictions. But I'm telling you, it's not. Read the book. It's not. We need the Holy Spirit. We're sheep in the midst of wolves. If you're a true sheep, amen, if the wolves leave you alone, you might begin to question whether you're a sheep or not. Right? The wolves are leaving you alone. Hey, man, things are going to get rough. But I'm telling you, oh, if we could just be full of the power. How many still knows what I mean about being full of the power and moving and working as you're motivated by the Spirit? Oh, hallelujah. It might happen on the car on the way to work tomorrow. The Holy Spirit may come down in your automobile. It'll change everything like that. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Amen. I didn't get to the theological side of this. I've been intending to do that. And you know, the Holy Spirit, don't you get it when you get saved? What's this about the baptism then and all of that? I've been meaning to get into that. I didn't get into that tonight because I just sense in my heart, oh, we need to be moved by the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's not enough to be moved by our own emotions. Not enough to be moved, as the prophet said, by the heat of your own spirit. I mean, folks, let emotions move them. They do what their emotions dictate. It's not a time to be moved by your emotions. It's time to be moved by the Spirit of our God. It's certainly not a time to be moved by our lust and our own selfish inclinations. We need to be moved by the Spirit of our... Oh, He's eternal. I said He's eternal. I said He's eternal. Amen. He's been liking His moving so often to electricity, it's worn out. But I'm telling you what, amen, if you stuck your fingers in this socket, you'd know the reality of electricity. And then by the same token, if you'll really get plugged into God, forgive the crudeness of the analogy, but if you'll just really get plugged into God in prayer and reading His Word and seeking His face, you'll know the power of His Spirit. I said, you'll know the power of His Spirit. Oh, glory to God. Amen. If you're not into this power thing, you're welcome to borrow my Roto-Rooter. It's still not fixed. If you just like doing it on your own, seeing how hard you can work, you're welcome to borrow it. Amen. But tonight, spiritually, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you come and pray? Hallelujah. Amen. Just seek Him. Say, I want the Spirit at work in my life. I want Him motivating me, leading me, empowering me, strengthening me. Would you really seek Him in this altar tonight? It's early. Let's just seek Him. Lord, I need Your power in my life. I need Your Spirit in my life. I need Your mercy. Let Him move in you and through you, even in this altar tonight. Would you let Him move in you and through you? Let's seek Him tonight. Why don't you just be intent in the altar tonight and say, I don't even want to get up from the altar until I'm empowered by His Spirit. I feel His power at work in my life.